Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Ah, praise God. I'm going to ask you a couple quick questions. Can you handle it? If you had an hour to live, what would you do? Don't answer me. If you had an hour to live, what would you do? Okay, let's break it down a little bit. If you had 30 minutes to live, what would you do? Okay, how about 10 minutes? You had 10 minutes to live. What would you do? What if you had 60 seconds to live? What would you do? I lost a friend this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Suddenly, in his sleep, he had a heart attack and was never revived. You know, we can't understand all things. That was suddenly. One breath in, no more breaths out. Standing before the Lord for judgment. Boom, just like that. Just like that. And it's over. No longer able to come back to this realm. No longer to say goodbye to your children, your wife, your spouses, your friends, your parents. No longer able to say goodbye to anyone. Can't do anything. It's over and it's done. You know, we think about these circumstances sometimes. But so many times when God tries to bring these to us, we shrug them off because we get so busy in survival. We get so busy in the things in the world. We get so busy and entangled that we lose sight that we can give up, that every breath you take could be your last. Then what? Then we have to ask ourselves, gosh, you can't blame God, even though he does have the last say. Was his mission fulfilled? What was the mission? You know, we don't realize that we play with death every day. Every decision we make, we're either playing with death or life. There's always a response to everything that you and I do. You never know when you're going to give up your last breath. Never. If you were to die right now, this instant, this second, that's over with, you had no time to say, oh, God, forgive me, or nothing, and you were before him. Would you hear, enter in my good and faithful servant? Or would you hear, I don't know you. You always did your own will but mine. You never know. You know, the ripple effect of one person going home. In one area, I mourn and sorrow because he was a personal friend of mine. And so that's my selfishness. But I think about three daughters, a wife, bills, all kinds of other things that were left behind that now it's been put on the spouse. All of those things that sometimes we take for granted and we play with life and not take it seriously in the area of fulfilling the call and the mission that God has sent us to. We're alive for a purpose. And sometimes when we're not fulfilling that purpose, things happen also. But only God has the last say. No one can figure it out. Who knows what was going to happen down the road? But there's something that occurs in that to where, in one aspect, I envy my brother because he went home before me. Why? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I can tell you that he's not thinking about anything here. He's in God's glory. His carnal state of being is gone. He is now one with the Lord in the glorious, glorious presence of God where he came from and where we came from. Life is very fragile. Very fragile. It can be here 1 second and gone the next. It can be trampled. It can be abused. It can be misunderstood and mistaken. Life can be stolen from someone. Many of us have had our lives stolen, and God is the one who restores it. So what do we do when we have a life that's restored? I can tell you that the main course in our life that's been restored by the throne, because only God, Jesus Christ, can restore life. So many times we try to restore it by change of job, change of relationship, change of location. We want to restore our life, and we can't. Only the Lord can restore a life, because he's the life giver, and he's the life taker. Only him. But can we really be honest with ourselves? First of all, are we fulfilling the mission that we've been called to do? And Are we really right with the Lord? So if you're about to give up your last breath, can you hear, enter in my good and faithful servant? Or can you hear, I don't know you. Let me look it up in the book of remembrance so I can remember you. Again, to be absent from the body is total freedom. That's where we are free from all the influences of the world. That is called true freedom. Well, let me tell you that there is a lot of false freedom. Because where there is true freedom, there's also false freedom. There's many people who think that they're free and are really not. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 5, would you turn there with me? Ephesians chapter 5. So pray for the Chrisman family, please. Many of you know Brian. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 8, would you read it with me, please? For you were what? Once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. How many all know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? So if you don't expose him, he's going to try to take you out. Remember we talked about the killing spirits. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Because you're inviting death into your life. You want to shorten your life? Have unfruitful works with death. You know, people don't realize that they actually invite death into their life by the things that they do, the things they touch. Works of the flesh is an invitation for death to come. Hallelujah. Verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, you and I were called. We were once darkness. Now we're light. Now we're what? In other words, the word light is associated with being able to see. Now we are seers. But we were once blinded. And he says, wake up now. You know, one day we're going to wake up from this whole sleep. Brian woke up this morning. He woke up from temporary to eternal. He woke up from the deceptions and influences of the world to the place of reality, which was real. He's more alive now than he has ever been. In Galatians chapter 5, he is completely free. And one of the things there is where there is false freedom. This is where the enemy entangles us in things that we don't even realize that we're bound. Bondage is where an area that the enemy has a grip on you. And every time there's a place, bondage will always set limitations in your life. Every time you get to a place where things are, bam, boom. Things seem to be looking great. Things are, well, all of a sudden, boom. Bondage. Why? Because there's access of the enemy into our lives. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 5 and verse 1, would you read it with me? It says, stand fast, therefore, in the what? In the liberty, which means freedom, by which Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the what? Yoke of bondage. In other words, man, why are you entangled? Look at you, we're free. So listen, you may be free of drugs and alcohol, but still bound by pornography, by lust, by pride. Many people are, I'm free. Yeah, but you're still dabbling and agreeing with darkness. See, there's an area where God wants me and you to be completely free. You know, many times we're only in management instead of freedom. We don't want demon management. We want complete freedom. And I believe that in that area, I believe that true complete freedom will be reached when we go home. But there's an area where we're always going to have to deal with battling off bondage on a daily basis. And this is where people come into a place and they think, okay, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this no more, that's over with, this is over with. But what about the other things? How many of y'all know a bad habit is bondage? Amen? A bad habit is still bondage. Until those bad habits are exchanged for good habits, you're still in bondage. I get many believers that come up to me and still huffing those cigarettes, trying to tell me they're free. I'm not an addict anymore. What are you, nuts? I'm not an addict anymore. Oh, really? Did you read that package that says, we'll kill you? And what does God say? He says, if you destroy the temple, I'll destroy you. See, all of these things that bring people into bondage and don't even realize it. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. In other words, these people were freed from the traditions and rituals that supposedly made someone free, which was just a temporary ordinances. It was a form of religion. How many of y'all know religion is bondage? Amen. That's the worst kind of bondage you can be in. It's a shame that people know the word, but they can't walk it. Or they use the word to beat other people down instead of lift them up and encourage them. But I can tell you that there is encouragement in Christ, and only in Christ. This is where you got to go to Him. Man can't rescue you. We go to Him on an everyday basis. We get filled every morning. We get dressed with the full armor of God. We do our ritual to get into His presence, because there is a process of getting into His presence. So He says, look at in verse 3, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You've fallen from God's plan. That's not God's plan. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? In other words, you may know the truth and still be in bondage because you don't practice it. See, there's a lot of people that know the truth. Man, they can quote scriptures. Believe me, I've been around people that can quote scriptures, page numbers, and everything. And I'm like, whoa, it's amazing. But then I see the fruits. It's amazing how much the word they know, but yet the fruits are not there. You know, one of the things the Spirit always tries to do is promote unity, not division. He tries to promote love. He promotes forgiveness, the fruits of the Spirit of tenderness. All of these things, God is trying to express Himself through each and every one of us. He expresses Himself through man. And He puts His Spirit in me and you to express Himself. And He's very good at it, if we let Him. Amen? Because you can't express Him in the flesh. It's impossible. Totally impossible. So, you know, many times we try to add on to the freedom He's given us and not even realize it. We try to add on to the freedom by works of the flesh, which brings bondage and false freedom. False freedom. You know, again, there's many people who think that they're free, but they're really not free. Let me tell you something. Details, clarity, discernment. When details are not established, there's bondage. Why? Because bondage always brings blindness. If you are not detailed, in other words, if you don't see things through, when you make a decision, if you don't see it through, if you don't know what the end result is going to be, then there's bondage. Why? Because one of the things that the Spirit gives me and you is sight, to see things all the way through. That doesn't mean we won't make a mistake. Amen? So when we make a mistake, we repent. But one of the things He's trying to do is see things all the way through. Now, you may start something and He gives you and see the end result, but don't realize how much you got to go through to complete it. Amen? And if so many times people quit, they give up because they're not willing to pay the price for freedom. There is a price for freedom. We must abide all the time in His word, His presence, in fellowship, in obedience. He says, follow me. What's the three keys? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and what? Follow. So if we don't deny ourselves, it's impossible to pick up the cross. It's impossible to follow the three keys that he's given us. That's the formula. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, and turn your phone off when you come into service. Praise God. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. I can tell you that's not God calling you. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1, 21. Therefore, read it with me. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to what? Save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately what? Forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom, the perfect law of freedom, and continues in it, and what? Continues in it, and is not a what? Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, hello, that means he's in bondage, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Amen. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. That means disconnect yourself. Disconnect yourself from the entanglements of the world. And what is that? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Why? Because you'll re-entangle you. Listen, what you thought you were free of, you'll become back into bondage again. False freedom. False freedom. Go to Galatians 5 and 13. You know, many people try to justify their relationship with the Lord by their works. And that's false freedom. Because even God said, many will come before me and they'll say, Lord, Lord, I did this, this, and that. But you'll say, I don't know you. Why? Because there was no personal relationship. None. Listen, if you never knew the word of God and you still knew him and spoke to him every single day and were led by the Spirit, the word of God is in you. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. He's the one who wrote the word. Listen, after my visitation from the Lord, the word of God was being manifested through me even though I never read it. Now, I didn't go around quoting scriptures, but because the word, the character of Christ was in me, guiding me and teaching me a life of righteousness. In fact, for about the first 2 months after my visitation from the Lord, I didn't want to read the word because I saw so many people walking around with the word that were a bunch of hypocrites. And the Lord kept putting the word toward me, and I said, no, I don't want to read your word. I know you. I can talk to you. Me and you, I can talk to you. I hear you. You hear me. What do I need the word for? And he let me go for a little while. Then he finally said, no, now know my word. Why? Because I want you to teach my word. I felt like Moses, who couldn't speak very well. I couldn't read. Then the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to teach you how to read. And he did. But some of those words and those names in the Old Testament are a little rough, I got to tell you that. We need to bring those names up to date, you know? Ephesians 5. Hallelujah. Did I say 5? Oh, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, I'm sorry. In verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to what? Freedom or liberty. But don't use liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In other words, now that you and I are free, we don't want to entangle ourselves again. We don't want to miss. Okay, so I'm free. Yeah, all right. So that gives me the right to go hang out at the bars. Oh, I don't drink. I just go to the bars. What are you going to bars for? Well, I'm looking for a spouse. Oh, that's a great place to look for a spouse. People church hop going. They go look for their spouses. They're human hunting. I'm going to go here and there. I'm going to look up for my woman. What happened with trusting God? Amen? What happened with the true trusting God? You know, some of the courtrooms still have it in there, in God we trust. You know, I don't know what God they're talking about, but I'm referring to the one that we serve. So in this, we don't want to take this freedom as an opportunity to serve the flesh. Because if you do, you're going to be back in bondage again. In 1 Peter chapter 2. See, when we do that, it's called false freedom. How many of y'all, come on, we all know Satan's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear, right? So what's his purpose is to deceive you thinking that you're free, but yet you're bound. Don't you think that those individuals that were casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, thought they were free and went before the Lord? And he said, I don't know you. You were practicing lawlessness. Man, I thought I was free. See, they were depending. They thought their freedom was associated with their works. Your freedom is associated with his presence. Only his presence breaks the yoke of bondage. That's called the anointing. Eternal presence, power, and truth breaks the yoke. That's why we get into his presence. And that's when we decree his word that won't return void. But let me tell you, if you're not backed by the anointing, you're throwing a bunch of seeds out there. It's not a sword. It's a seed. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, is everybody there? Praise be to God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Actually, let's start at 9. But you are what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people. Everyone say, I'm his own special person. I'm spoiled. Everyone say, I'm spoiled by God. Hallelujah. I'm own special people that you may proclaim the what? Praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of what? In the day of what? Visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak of vice, for vice, but as a bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering, and wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So in this, again, we see that liberty as a cloak for vice. In other words, this individuals are going back into bondage again. You know, let me share something with you, that what you sow is what you reap, right? So just because we're free now, God frees us, doesn't mean that you're still not going to reap. So many people think, well, I'm free now. Why should I reap? Because you sowed. Now, the more you sow in the spirit, the more you outrun your reaping. Amen. And so that's where the Lord says, abide. Abide. Why? Because the more you abide, the more you sow in the spirit, the more you outrun your reaping of the flesh, which brings corruption. And this is where so many times people are still entangled in false freedom. Because without understanding that, without getting that understanding, there are certain areas that you and I must understand to get free. How many of y'all know freedom is learned? Amen. It's not a pill you take. Amen. It isn't something that you just do to get free. It's something that he's done that we cooperate with to be free. Amen. In Romans 8, false freedom. You know, you can come through the discipleship house, pass the test, and ace it, and still be bound. You can go through deliverance and still be bound. See, this is an area where you are truly in relationship with the Lord, where the fear of God is at every turn. Every decision has a reverence and honor and respect. Every word has a reverence, honor, and respect. You see it all. Everything you do, the Lord is always before you. Always before you. And if he's always before you, when you say something you shouldn't, you immediately repent. When you make a decision, gosh, Lord, I'm sorry. You will depart from evil. Because the fear of the Lord is departing from evil. You'll depart from it. You won't play with it. You won't touch it. You won't compromise it. You will depart from it. Or you'll get rid of it. In Romans 8:14, let's read it together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. How many of y'all know fear brings bondage? Amen. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. In us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, and that's us. See, so many times we lose sight of who we really are. We get so caught up in entanglements and affairs of this world, trying to restore our life, that we lose sight of the one who can only restore it. And then we get busy, and things become complicated because we're trying to figure it out instead of surrendering it. You know, even though we may live a surrendered life, we still live a survival life also. We still have to survive in this arena, even with a surrendered life. Why? Your survival depends on your spiritual warfare. Hello? Why? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your life here depends on your spiritual warfare to keep the enemy away so you can maintain your relationship with the Lord. Intercession, prayer of intercession is essential. And without warfare, you'll have tire marks on you. Why? Because you're going to be run over by the bus. And the driver is the devil. Hallelujah. Now, again, we see here that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So it's important that we are led. And you can only be led through the anointing of God, the eternal presence and power and truth. Go to Galatians 4. Now, there's either going to be the true leading of the Spirit or the false leading of the enemy who pushes. He doesn't lead. He pushes you. He pushes. And sometimes it's a gentle push. Why? Because he's trying to produce anxiousness. Anxiousness. Did you ever notice that when things start going good and then all of a sudden things slow down, you want to keep it going? That's where he comes in. Why? Because God is trying to change direction. God is trying to slow things down because something's getting ready to happen. You're getting ready to step into a trap and you're too busy enjoying the good. And you're saying, hey, oh, well, this is great, Lord, thanks. No, you're going to step in some. No, man, this is great. Man, I've been trying to get your attention. But see, if we are so caught up, we're not sensitive enough to hear or to receive. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Galatians 4. False freedom. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So do the elements of the world bring bondage? Yeah. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be where? In bondage. I hate bondage. It's a terrible. Listen, once you step in the realm of flesh, you're in bondage. Flesh is bondage. Flesh is what? Is bondage. I hate bondage. Elements of the world bring bondage. Religion brings bondage. Let me tell you something. To be overprotective brings bondage. You can be so overprotective that you'll become enslaved. What are you enslaved with? Fear. Fear promotes overprotection. There's an area you got to trust God. I'm not telling you to go step off a cliff and trust God, you know, or step in front of a car and say, Lord, I trust you because you're going to get those tracks. You know, he gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. He gives us the spirit where we can be led. The Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth if we're listening, if we're abiding. He always makes a way of escape of bondage. You know, so many times people exchange one bondage for another and don't get free. Go to a 12-step program. You'll exchange one bondage for another. That's all it does is promote demon management until you finally come to Christ. I know it happened to me. I'll never forget. The Lord said, how much more spiritual growth are you going to get out of here? And I said, none. He said, get out. Get out of there. Its intent in the beginning was different because the dude that started it had a visitation from the Lord, but you don't hear that in the meetings. You hear your sponsor. You hear this. So you're dependent on your sponsors. No. There's a difference. You become dependent on him. I don't need to go to a meeting. I'm in meeting all day long. We're in meetings all day long. Me and the Holy Ghost. What's next? Hallelujah. Galatians 3. Oh, that's Colossians. Sorry. Colossians chapter 3. It has been tough this morning. I gotta think. Colossians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? In verse 5. Would you read it? Therefore put to death. Everyone say death. Death. Kill it. Put to death. What? Your members. Which? What? Ooh, which are here on earth. You have members on earth. It doesn't mean you're family members. You're not going to go out and kill nobody. These are the members in you, not in your family. Hello? Or in your congregation or any associations. These are members in you. You have members in here. Hallelujah. And it says what now? Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. What is it? Here it explains. What? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in the what? The knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is what? Neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and what? In all. In other words, death to your carnal members. You know, you have desires in you. In fact, your own man is nothing. He releases desires every single day. We are those who are led by the Spirit, the flesh is crucified. So your old man is on the cross behind you. Picture this. So he's always trying, the enemy, the voice of the stranger, uses the old man. So he's always trying to speak to you. He's always trying to tell you, he's always trying to impart in you a desire to fulfill the flesh, so that corruption can come. He's always trying to bring a false freedom. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. You and I were born this way. Why? Because we were the offspring of Satan. That's how we were born. That's why we need to be born again. So that our bloodline now runs from above, not from beneath. Now, depending who you want to serve is up to you. You can either serve the one above or the one below. God will never interfere with your free will. Never. But he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can make right decisions. But we can just shrug him off and say, no, I don't want to hear that. Let me tell you, when you say no, you don't want to hear that, instant bondage comes. Because when you reject freedom, you accept bondage. Does everybody get that? When you reject freedom, you accept bondage. Because the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. verse 12. Let's read it. These are false teachers and false prophets. It says, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes carousing in their own deceptions. In their own deceptions. Why? Because they believe they're free. Let me share something with you. Anyone who preaches that you are once saved, always saved, is false freedom. Does everybody get it? Why? Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Hallelujah. How can a righteous God, whose throne is a throne of righteousness, amen, how can he receive someone that chooses not to practice righteousness? Does everybody get that? How can he receive someone to that? He paid a price for me and you so that we can repent, amen, and receive the righteousness of Christ. But when we willfully break covenant with God, when we willfully sin, there's no more covering and we're left wide open. So let me share with you that false freedom is somebody who believes that they can go out and fornicate, lie, cheat, steal, and get into heaven. That's not true. And to preach that is preaching false freedom. Amen? Okay. Praise God. Everybody all right? False freedom. We want complete true freedom. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 12, would you read it? But what I do, I will also... 2 Corinthians 11? Cool. But what I do, I also continue to do that I may cut off the what? Opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such as what? False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. According to their works. See, let me share with you that there are servants of Satan that are in the body of Christ. They're really not a part of the body of Christ. Amen. And there are preachers that are servants of Satan. There are ministers of servants of Satan who are leading people astray with false doctrine. The Bible says there will be many false prophets coming. Many will come in my name. And there are people who are serving darkness that don't even know they are because they're in false freedom. Again, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And if there's fear in your life or anxiousness in your life, that's bondage. Again, you may be free from drugs and alcohol and other things, but are you free from all the other stuff? Sometimes we focus on only what we're free on, but what we're not free on, we ignore. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. That's why he says, examine yourself. Now, so many times you won't know what your circumstance is unless you're in fellowship. In other words, we gather together to hear what the Spirit says. What's he doing? He's releasing strategies and exposures of deception that the enemy's trying to bring to us. So he gives us an opportunity to search out. Gosh, what is it that's, I'm in false freedom, Lord. Show me. What is it that I believe that I am free, but I'm really not? What is it that I'm not really seeing things all the way through? Where am I not discerning and where am I not having clarity? Why? Because bondage always brings blindness. It also promotes pride. Amen? Pride is bondage. Religion is bondage. Lust is bondage. All of those things are bondage. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not? Oh, I'm in James, sorry. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe what? Hello, don't believe every voice that speaks to you. Don't believe it. You know, people want to hear so much that they listen to every voice out there. You don't have to, man. Listen, if you'll just allow the Spirit to speak to you, and many times He won't speak to you here. He speaks to you here. It's annoying. And so many times, people are struggling here because they hear more than one voice. Let me tell you, your flesh speaks, your soul speaks, the old man speaks, the world speaks. There's voices all over. It's our responsibility to tune in. Make sure you tune in to the right station, or you'll be hearing some wild stuff. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. How do you test them? Well, first of all, you're going to know the voice and what it's promoting. Now, I've had five people or four people come to me and tell me they're going to marry the same woman. So certainly wasn't God. God told me. Oh, really? Well, you're the fourth one today, God told. Let me share with you, it takes practice to hear God's voice. You practice it. You test it. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of what? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the what? Spirit of error. The spirit of error. Again, this is where false freedom comes into effect, where that voice of the stranger promotes bondage. He convinces us because we're free that we can do something that brings bondage. Amen? I'm free. Okay, well then, well, let's go do this. Yeah, that's all right. That's, I'm free. No. How many of y'all know lying is bondage? Unfulfilled vows bring bondage. You know how many people have made a commitment to the Lord and broke it? Brings bondage, doesn't it? And so there's what? Repentance. It doesn't mean that you're not done so reaping. Amen? Because what you sow is what you reap. But let me tell you something. God always tries to turn your reaping into training. He always, why? Because everything is going to work to the good. He always tries to turn your reaping into training, no matter what. And he's during that training, it's an opportunity that he begins to explore. In other words, who are you hanging with? Associations, amen, brings impartations. Who are you hanging with? What are you watching? What are you doing? What are you listening to? Are you compromising certain things? And I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 2. These false prophets, that's why we must test the spirits. Why? Because they come in stealth, undetected. They come in what? Undetected, stealth. They come in under the radar. That's why you have to have night vision. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, let's read it. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be what? Manifested. That none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing. You have an anointing. You have the anointing. Yeah. You have the anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, only if you're walking in the anointing will you know all things. Only if you're sensitive. Only if you're abiding in His Word, in His presence through worship, and in fellowship. Why? These are not Bible studies. They're training sessions. Amen? The kingdom of God is manifested on earth as a military operation, not some religious stuff. The world is trying to turn Christianity into religiosity. Jesus is the commander in chief of the military. This is a military operation. We need to start looking at it in that way. I am not a pastor only according to what is designated. I'm a captain of a ship. And in this, we have a military. And in this military, there are projects and outreaches which are actually like stealth. We go into places. We bring water, but underneath the tables are Bibles. We go into places. Why? Because he who's in you is always trying to stretch his hand out to rescue someone. It's about salvation to souls that are lost. Certain things will come up from your past to try and bring you into bondage again. You know, sometimes I remember people coming into our class in prison and in jail. They were bound. You know, they got freed there. So they were freer in prison, even though that they were in jail, than they were out on the streets. The whole thing is maintaining that freedom. And the only way to maintain that freedom is to stay in abiding, waiting on the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Let God build the house. Surrender it. Pray. Without prayer, you can do nothing. You can come here 60 times a day and still be in bondage. Why? Because it's cooperation that brings freedom. Amen? Cooperation. We must cooperate with the Spirit. That's deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. So allow God to expose your false freedoms. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be imparted into each and every one and protected by the blood of Jesus so that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory.